Podcast. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mr. Leach. Have you had a busy day?
Good morning.
Good morning, Starshine.
Look at me, every morning, wide awake, 11 o'clock.
I'm awake.
How about you?
I'm awake, but I can't get my eyes open.
In the morning,
rise and shine, up and at 'em.
When I wake up early in the morning, lift my head, I'm still young.
Good morning, starshine.
One fine morning, girl, I'll wake up.
Beautiful morning.
I gotta get up every morning just to say goodnight to you.
Cause I'm leaving when I see that morning sky.
Good morning, you sure look fine.
The morning sun has come.
Wake up, sunshine.
Wake me up.
Get up, baby, get up, get up, get up.
One morning, I woke up.
Sandman working overtime last night?
I woke up this morning and the sun was gone.
When does the sun come up around here?
It's a wonderful day.
Cause he gets up in the morning.
I get up in the morning and it's just another day.
I try to get up every morning and watch television all day.
Every morning.
Wake up time.
When you wake up in the morning and the light has hurt your head.
It's almost 9 o'clock. We've got to go to work.
Wake up time.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Tuesday, February 15th, 2022, 268 days remaining in our American democratic system, as we have known. How you doing, kids? JC here at jconline.com. I promise you this is not going to be a story that sounds like you're walking through the park and two guys in their 80s are, you know, complaining about their lumbago. As you probably know, my family and I are splitting our time between St. Louis and Central Florida. Well, West Central Florida. So, you know, we're in Florida right now. We were in St. Louis for about 2 weeks over the Christmas holiday, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks. But you need two sets of everything when you do something stupid like this. Although it's not going to be stupid here for the next couple of days with the temperatures in the 12. It's going to really be nice across the entire Midwest here today. Oh, by the way, yeah, we got to open the Chinook's panic aisle. There's going to be something coming through here on Thursday that will start. You know, these temperatures are sort of crazy for St. Louis for this time of year. Yeah, as we're doing the show right now, it is 28 degrees. But it's going to be 60 today. It's going to be 62 tomorrow. So, JC, what the hell are you doing opening the Chinook's panic aisle? Well, again, after the 60 today and the 62 tomorrow, it's going to be a steady rain tomorrow night and maybe even thunderstorms, and the temperature just dropping like crazy. And when I say rain, talking 1 to 2 inches, and it's a damn good thing it's rain, because 1 to 2 inches of rain would be, you know, almost 20 inches of snow. So that's going to be Wednesday night. The temperature drops from a high of 62 on Wednesday down to a low of 39 tomorrow night. And then all the National Weather Service will say right now is watching a potential winter storm for Thursday. Wintry mix of stuff in the afternoon. Rain, sleet, freezing rain, ice, snow. But don't worry too much, because on Friday, sun's supposed to come out. It's supposed to be 40 degrees. So whatever happens will be short-lived. But Thursday morning, for those of you who still have to get up and put on decent clothes and shoes and deodorant and all that sort of stuff, as opposed to just sitting there going, bleh, yeah, I'm working from home. Yeah, but everybody that does have to be somewhere on Thursday, you might not necessarily be going. Anyhow, back to my story, which I so rudely interrupted myself on. So I had a back surgery again. This was my third back surgery, and that was back in the fall. And as you might suspect, or if you've been through this yourself, surgery, I don't care what kind of surgery, it's not fun. And especially now, all this COVID running around, even having to go into a hospital is not a pleasant experience. And the reason you're going in is because they're going to be working on you. Then that's even worse. So it had gotten to the point where I couldn't sit, I couldn't walk, definitely couldn't run or do anything athletic. My team, my baseball team down in Florida, just sort of went on without me. And that's a rotten feeling. You're sort of standing there going, man, they're out there playing ball, and I'm sitting here on a heating pad. So I had mixed emotions about having the surgery. On one hand, it is not a pleasant experience, as I said, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, all this back pain that I've had and the stuff shooting down in my leg and my left knee and everything like that. You know, the good news here is, while this will be a brutal process and even the recovery is not always really pleasant, hey, what's the good news? The good news is finally I'll be able to walk around and not have all this back pain. Well, a funny thing happened. I went through all that, did all the surgery, and here it is like 4 months later, and I'm almost back to where I was before the surgery. That's it. All of that, and it didn't make it much better. Maybe 5, maybe even 10%. That's it. So I decide I'm going to go back to the orthopedic guy who sort of started this whole thing. That was the first guy who said, you know, you might have to have surgery. And then, you know, you go to another doctor, another doctor, another doctor, another doctor, and the next thing you know, you're recovering from surgery. So I'm going to go back to this original guy. So I had an appointment yesterday for 3:20 in the afternoon. I arrive at about 3:15. I go up the elevator to the second floor. I grab the door handle, and I notice there's a little sign on the glass, and it says, hey, guess what? We moved. I'm standing there like, did your doctor move? So I immediately get on the cell phone. I call the woman, and I go, what the hell is going on here? Oh, you were supposed to get a note. Well, I didn't. And, you know, I got all this back pain, and I was looking forward to seeing this guy. Actually, I was looking forward to unloading on him. But I'm standing here in the hallway. How far away are you? Where did you move to? She explains. I look on the Google thing, and it's like, I can be there in 12 minutes. If I get there in 12 minutes, will you still take me? Let me send you up to Helen, and she's the one that does the scheduling. All right, fine. Ring, ring, ring. Probably rang 100, 150 times. I realized nobody was ever going to pick up the line. So now, call the original woman back. And I explained to her, you sent me to a phone that nobody is answering. Can you get me to a live person? What exactly is your problem, she says. I say, on what level? What area of my flawed personality would you like to focus in on? I got problems with my back. I got problems with my left hip. I said, oh, by the way, a little more than a week ago, I called your office and I said, you know, I'm having so much pain. Is there anything you can prescribe for me to just sort of take the edge off of this until I can get to the appointment, which, of course, we're talking about was yesterday? Because, well, this doctor would not be prescribing medication. That would be a different doctor. And I said, and so your solution to the problem was to just not even bother to return the call after you told me you'd get back to me? There's a lot of stuff I can't take because I have two stents in that were put in last spring. And so, like, I can't even take Advil. Got to keep that blood nice and thin until those stents are in there permanently, and that's at least got another couple of months left in it. You know, and I take back this whole thing because this sounds exactly like two old men on a park bench complaining about their lumbago. I'm surrounded by incompetence. Super Bowl crowd in Los Angeles taking heat because even though as you walked in and showed your ticket, they handed you a nice shiny new mask to put on during the game. and nobody wore them. They just threw them down. The annual USA Today Super Bowl ad meter results are in. Oh, thank God. They've calculated the whole thing based on scores from about 150,000 panelists. So here you go. Here's your top 10. The E-Trade with the talk and the baby. Toyota at number 9. That was the one with all the Joneses. The NFL promo, which ran at halftime, which I think was the best thing I saw all afternoon. I hate to say it. That's at number 8. The BMW thing with Arnold Schwarzenegger as Zeus at number 7. Lays with Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen, which I told you I laughed my ass off when I saw it. Another Toyota spot. This is the one with the kid from the Paralympics. Kia was at number 4. That was a Robo Dog. Flamin' Hot Cheetos with Megan Thee Stallion. That was at number 3. The Scarlett Johansson Colin Jost thing, which was very entertaining and very well done. But like I said, it didn't register with me because they had released that earlier in the week. So had I already seen it by the time it ran during the game. And the number 1, and I wouldn't have guessed this one. I didn't even have it on my list yesterday at all, let alone top 10 or let alone number 1. It was the Anna Kendrick Barbie thing that came in at number 1. Oh, and the Coinbase thing with the bouncing QR code, that came in as the worst spot. And just to correct the Twitterverse, the NFL says it did know that Eminem was going to kneel during the halftime show. But I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, people jumped all over Colin Kaepernick when he started doing this during the national anthem a couple of years ago. People were talking about disrespecting the flag, disrespecting this, disrespecting that. So now Eminem goes out there and takes a knee at the end of the medley of their songs that they did. There was no national anthem plan. There wasn't anything having to do with the troops or the flag or anything like that. And yet, guess what? People still complained about it. So it was never really the flag or the military or any of that stuff. It was about good old-fashioned blatant racism all along. I said this before, I'll say it again. 20 years from now, they're going to be teaching this whole thing about what happened with Colin Kaepernick. They're going to be teaching that in school. This thing is every bit as important as the stuff that Dr. Martin Luther King did, John Lewis, Rosa Parks. Somebody posted yesterday, say, imagine if the Bengals didn't accept the final score, stormed the field, sued the NFL, and protested the 2022 NFL season, calling it fraudulent. Grocery store the other day. Jesus Christ, everything is so friggin' expensive. And yet, the big corporations, and we know that three companies basically control almost all of the meat and poultry that you consume on a daily basis. And everybody's crying about how they're losing money. That's why they got to jack up the prices. And yet, they can afford $7 million for a Super Bowl commercial. Seems to me, if you play with your books a little bit, you could probably afford to pay your employees a living wage. When Megyn Kelly left Fox News amidst the entire controversy and the Me Too movement and everything like that, she got a lot of money. I believe she got something about $60 million. Chris Cuomo, who just a short time ago departed CNN, that's what he says he wants too. There's a picture I'm going to put on Facebook as soon as I'm done with the podcast here. Ringo and Joe Walsh out with their wives at the Super Bowl, all wearing Rams stuff. But I got to tell you, Ringo looks like he's about 45 years old. Ringo is 80. Joe Walsh has looked like he's 80 for the last 40 years. I was talking to some old schoolers yesterday, and we were trying to remember some of the really, really old Super Bowl halftime shows. And I remembered what I think was the first one. I mean, the first one was probably just marching bands marching around. But the first time they actually did anything at halftime that was designed to hold your attention for the entire halftime show, there was a movie that came out, like one of these big production number things called Paint Your Wagon. And it starred Lee Marvin. And at halftime, they had like these stagecoaches and horses running around, and they were like trying to recreate scenes from a movie that nobody had ever seen yet because it was new, and there was Lee Marvin and everything, which is great, but the phrase failed miserably comes to mind. And Snoop was baked during the halftime show. There's video proof of it. Man, I'm telling you, they got these drones and helicopters with these super tight lenses. and they can fly around. You don't even know there's anything out there, and it's getting a shot of you getting herbed up before the halftime show. Snoop. Somebody bet $5,000 on the Jets to win the Super Bowl next year. If the Jets win it, the payout is $1 million. The Chiefs, by the way, already the odds-on favorites to win the Super Bowl next year, at least according to the online bookies, followed by the Bills, Rams, Cincinnati. Last place on the list, you guessed it, the Houston Texans. Seems dumb to put out the odds now, though. For example, I mean, Tampa Bay's got a real good team, and if they get a good quarterback or turns out the guy they already have is some sort of a phenom, how can you start setting the odds before you even know if there's going to be any more coaches replaced, any more quarterbacks moved around, traded, whatever? But I guess you got to feed the beast, and right now the beast is Las Vegas, Nevada, da, 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 da. Normally, I go out of my way to ignore Kanye West, but I will say this. It's one of those deals where he keeps cranking up the heat on this thing with Pete Davidson. I mean, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are still married, and it's complicated by the fact that now Kanye West's girlfriend pulled out after 2 months. So now he's got nothing but free time. And Kim Kardashian was like, hey, you got to amp this thing down there, buddy, because I'm not necessarily worried that you're going to do anything that could endanger us, but I can see some fool from Wichita getting in his pickup truck and driving out to California to start shooting people because of the stuff you're saying. This one I did not see coming. This really came out of the blue. The Oscars getting three hosts this year: Regina Hall, Amy Schumer, and Wanda Sykes. They actually did have a three-women co-hosting unit back in 1987. I think Goldie Hawn was one of them. Late Night Tonight, Mark Wahlberg on with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got John Oliver. Anna Klumsky on with James Corden. Trevor Noah has a new show tonight. They just announced yesterday he's going to headline the White House Correspondents Association dinner. They haven't had it for the last couple. Well, they did it, but then they didn't do it, but then Trump didn't show up for it, and, you know, on and on it goes. I just don't get the Trevor Noah thing. He does absolutely nothing for me. I never used to miss The Daily Show. Now, the only time I watch it is if Jordan Klepper is going to have a piece, because that guy's hilarious. So last night on The Secrets of Playboy, which I was watching, and I find, for the most part, very, very boring. But you watch because at least once an episode, they say something like they did last night, which was that at some point they have reason to believe that Hugh Hefner had sex with a dog. And I don't mean an unattractive woman either. An actual fucking four-legged, I'm wagging my tail, dog. All right, birthdays today. Jane Seymour looking damn good at 71. Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons, 68. Christopher McDonald, Shooter McGavin, and Happy Gilmore, and Yammer Yager, who Brendan Shanahan told us a long time ago, nickname is Puff Nuts. Yammer Yager is 50 years old today. The Breakfast Club was released on this date in 1985. Saturday Night Fever won the Grammy for Album of the Year on this date in 79. First white artist ever to perform on Soul Train. 47 years ago today, 1975. And of course, the answer is, who is Gino Vannelli? Who is Gino Vannelli? I just want to stop and tell you how I feel about you, babe. I just want to stop. People like, yeah, just say, stop. All right, so you don't want to hear the musings of a little whippoorwill this morning? That's your own business. As you know, I've been complaining a lot about Facebook lately because their algorithms are stupid. They think that they have algorithms that just do a wonderful job. But what it does is it eliminates things like sarcasm or if you're being facetious or something like that. I told the story over the weekend. Two amazingly good-looking women, friends of mine, and I mean 12s on a scale of 10. They posted a picture a while back, and me, being the wise guy that I am, I put under the comments, too bad that you guys don't photograph well. You know, you're such dogs or something like that. Clearly an over-the-top comment from yours truly. They suspend you because they say you're bullying. And it's like, no, you're too stupid to under... It's like dealing with somebody who's got an IQ of about 60. It's a robot passing judgment on me. I love this thing where they go, well, you violated community standards. It's like, yeah, I violated community standards. Okay, let me just see. When's the last time you set foot in St. Louis? None of these people have ever spent any time in the Midwest. And yet, I've been talking to audiences for 3.5 decades. Just in my humble opinion, I think maybe I know a little more about what the community standards are than some guy who's never been here or some robot that they programmed to be as stupid as that bug-eyed freak Mark Zuckerberg. I mention all of this because you never get in trouble. I used to talk about this in interviews when people would talk to me about the radio business. You know, you never end up getting whacked for something you know you did wrong. In other words, you don't walk out of the studio every day and go, well, I'm going to get in trouble for that. What happens is the phone rings about 3:30 in the afternoon. What are you doing? Can you come in? Like, oh, what happened now? All right, well, somebody said you did this and this and this. And I go, that's not what I said. So you never really get in trouble for stuff that you know you did wrong. It's always something comes out of left field. And now, I don't even know what to tell you now, because it's just like people get up in the morning, I think, and just think, whose career are we going to try to wreck today? I don't know, maybe it gives some real sickos a feeling of empowerment or something. I don't know. So the other day, I found this picture of me and Margie Ellisor. People will forget, for the most part, because she's been at Fox 2 for so long, that Margie Ellisor started out on Channel 4 back in the mid-90s. And I was working in the Channel 4 newsroom at that time as well. And she and I just sort of hit it off when we became friends. And one day I was, I was fooling around with the new camera or something. I was like, you know, hey, Margie, look at this. And she's looking at the camera. I go, here, let's take a picture. And so I just grabbed her and I pulled her close to me. And our cheeks were touching. So it was just like smushed. It was like a gag picture. Just smushing our faces together. She got a big smile on her face. I'm smiling. It's a great picture. So I posted this on Throwback Thursday on Facebook last week with the comment. I mean, I'm acknowledging that the times have changed, because I said, gosh, I can't even imagine what would happen, how soon my phone would ring from the HR department at the TV station if I tried to do this today, because the world has changed and you can't grab a female television anchor person and just grab them and smush your face into theirs and then take a picture. But again, it was 1996. It's almost 30 years ago. And there were some people who were commenting that even though it was almost 30 years ago, that I was doing something for which I should receive criticism by posting the picture in the first place. I'm like, wow. It's that bad out there. People want to, I wasn't doing anything wrong. Margie was a friend of mine. Okay, we're in the workplace. And so, yeah, I understand the rules are different. But see, that's one of the things that people don't understand. When you work in electronic media, it's really loosey-goosey. Or at least it was back when I worked in it. I think the last TV job I had, like 2008, and I was on Fox 2. And there's always people kidding around. And you sort of have to do that because you're in a television newsroom and there's a lot of bad news. And when I say a lot of bad news, I'm not necessarily referring to one-time Fox 2 newscaster Rob Dazier. Good morning, everybody. I enjoyed that one. After sitting around for about 2 years following my departure from KHITS 96, on this date in 2013, I finally said, okay, let's do it. Hate to do it, but nothing's happening here. And we packed up and moved to Houston, Texas. Took a job at a radio station that had been playing classic rock for 20 years. 4 months after I got there, I began to hear rumors that something was going on with the company and that they might not like our radio station very much. And they were thinking about flipping the format from classic rock to something else. It took them a couple of more months, but eventually that's exactly what happened. On this date in 1993, the weather guys were telling us that 9 inches of snow might be coming at us. You know what happened? 9 inches of snow came at us. 1993. I interviewed Robert De Niro on this date back in 1991 for a movie called Guilty by Suspicion, which nobody saw, and it wasn't a very good movie anyhow, but I still got to meet De Niro. Not what I would describe as a great interview. as dramatic as his performances are on film, we see this larger-than-life character. When you're just sitting down talking to him, he's borderline boring. But he was very nice. And it was 11 years ago today that everybody's favorite St. Louis Cardinal, Stan the Man, got the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
I came to the plate 11,000 times. I got 3,630 hits. But I also made 7,000 outs, and that was a record. If you like somebody and admire them, don't hesitate to tell them that you love them. We love the great fans of St. Louis and Missouri. I appreciate this honor. Thank you very much. One more time. Here we go. One more time. One more time.
One of a kind right there. One of a kind. Stan the Man Musial. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. Today it's Singles Awareness Day. Seriously, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, Detroit has more singles than any other city. 71% of people who live there are single. Cleveland next at 69%. The Cleveland suburb of Euclid, Ohio, ranked as the number one suburb at 62%. Hoboken, New Jersey, number two. As for states, Vermont and Alaska have the most single men. Mississippi and Georgia have the most single women. And Nevada and Arkansas have the most divorcees. And here's the curveball. All of the best singles still might be pining after an ex. In a new poll, 43% of singles say they have an ex they'd get back together with in a heartbeat. That breaks down as 52% of men, 36% of women. I'd always heard that the city of Madison, Wisconsin, had the greatest ratio of women to men. 3 women for every man in Madison, Wisconsin. I don't know if that's still true. But see, this is with these people who are in these toxic relationships where they're not really in the relationship at all, but emotionally they still love that other person. I was crazy about this gal that I was dating back in the, this would have been like 99, 2000, somewhere in there. And it just wasn't going anywhere. And eventually the whole thing just burned out. I saw her like a year later. And it was just sort of like, I'm sad that things didn't work out between us. Oh, JC, it wasn't your fault. I was emotionally unavailable. I was like, first time I've ever heard that. But it's very descriptive. And I knew exactly what she meant. I was emotionally unavailable. So you're doing everything right, you know, and you're pampering her and you're complimenting her and you're taking out nice places to get the car washed, the whole thing. Doesn't matter. She's in love with somebody else. In another poll, 2 in 3 people are still holding on to something that an ex gave them. And more than 40% have multiple items from a previous relationship. And we're not talking about practical stuff like tools or stuff like that. This is sentimental stuff, love letters, photos, jewelry. The gifts people were less likely to hang on to from their ex include exercise equipment and furniture. And who's the most sentimental? 68% of men say they still have items from their ex, compared to 62% of women. Faded photographs, covered now with lines and traces of... I'm sorry you had to hear that. And with that, we say that's it. JC Corcoran Podcast for Tuesday, February 15th, 2022 is in the can. We have 268 days remaining in our American democratic system, as we have noted. We are here every weekday morning, absolutely free, made it as simple as possible. Is as you go to the website, jconline.com, you click play and the thing starts filling up your ears. Please help us stay in the top 10% of all podcasts in the country. That's where we are now. Let everybody know that we are here every morning. We only do politics when it's absolutely unavoidable. You can email me at jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Talk to you again tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.